Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a fun one. But before we get started, it's important to thank our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be sharing these stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Shawnee Godwin, and she is with Communique USA. Welcome, Shawnee.
Lee, thank you so much for having me here. I'm excited about this.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about Communique USA. How are you serving folks?
We are serving folks well. We have been serving people for 18 years. This year, we celebrate our 18th year in business. We are a marketing communications firm based here in the Atlanta area. We have had the privilege and pleasure of working with lots of businesses from large to small. Some of our most notable clients have been and are Chick-fil-A Inc., Georgia Power, Safeco Insurance, Party City of Atlanta. The list goes on and on. And we also are very small business friendly and have worked with all, again, small and mid-sized businesses. Our forte, as true to our name says, is we are really communications experts. So we specialize in all things marketing communications, helping people figure out their message, getting inside their heads and extracting those gold nuggets that make their message come to life so that they can connect and engage with their customers easily and affordably.
Now, what was the genesis for starting your practice? Did you work previously for a larger organization and then kind of wanted to do your own thing? Or did you start here? How did this come about?
You nailed it. I laugh. I tell people I am a millennial trapped inside of a Gen Xer's body. I just got here about 20 years too early. I actually went to school for advertising and marketing communications. I went to Hampton University undergrad and got my MBA in marketing from Mercer University, the Atlanta campus. And you hit the nail on the head. I actually started in corporate America. I had the good fortune to land a major internship when I was in college at J. Walter Thompson, which is, for anyone who knows the advertising space, is a major player worldwide ad agency. I interned in advertising and account management for 4 summers while I was studying at Hampton. And then at the bright, spry age of 21, found myself working in corporate America at an agency, very quickly transitioned over to the corporate side, worked at Chick-fil-A corporate for a couple of years, and then bounced over to Bell South, where I was there for 4 years in consumer advertising. I really wanted to, at the time I was married. I was 27 years old. It was a really bizarre time, a little bit like now, to start a business. It was a year after 9/11 in 2002 when I started this company. This was right behind the failure and the big bust of all the dot-coms. And people honestly, Lee, thought I was crazy for wanting to kind of bet on myself and step out into the world of entrepreneurship. My real motivation and impetus, though, was that I was a wife. I assumed I would stay married and have kids at some point. And I really, really wanted to be able to create a career that I loved and do work that I loved, but also be a very present family member, mom, wife, et cetera. And I could not envision how I could be great in both places by working a traditional 9-to-5. So again, I think I just had a lot of vision trapped in a very young person's body. I tell people now, I just had the courage, I think, that you have when you're younger and don't know the real risk that you're taking to jump out and get started. And so I left Bell South in 2002. I had about a 6 months voluntary severance offer to get me by, and I gave myself 6 months to get it off the ground. And here we are 18 years later.
Now, when you made that leap and you were now kind of in an office by yourself and you didn't have the help of the brands that you were working with behind you as kind of cover, what was it like kind of going out to the world and saying, hey, it's me here offering you these great services. Was that a challenge, or did you have some clients that you knew and maybe through relationships got you jump started, or did you kind of have to get the wheel moving kind of manually at first?
It was a little bit all of the above, honestly. I really think entrepreneurship is really just a big faith walk. It really tests your faith to step out on your own and get started. It also gets you very clear on which cogs in the wheel you're turning and which ones God or the universe or whoever your higher power is turning. So I had a lot of God moments in the mix, but true confession, my dad was a pharmaceutical salesman. So I didn't know how impactful that would be in this portion of my career until I was kind of out here. So I had a real good foundation. And what I knew from watching my dad was that relationships mattered. And so I didn't have a secret formula. I committed myself within literally probably the first week or two. I started the business in a home office, and I committed and to myself until my phone was ringing off the hook. I did not need to be in the office. I needed to be out in front of somebody that I knew. And so my most successful marketing plan ever was literally making a list of everybody I knew who I had worked with and crossed paths with. And if I knew you on any level in any capacity, I would made an appointment with you. I went in, did a lot of informational meetings, let people know what I was doing. And that was how we really got things off the ground. And if people didn't know, have anything for me or didn't have an opportunity, I asked them to keep me in mind. And then I'd ask them, who did they know that I needed to know? And then could they introduce me? And it worked.
It sounds like that kind of advice is the same advice you'd give a new entrepreneur right today, right? Like even if we're in this pandemic, is start with who you know, start having conversations, start exploring ways to work together or serving each other, and see what happens, and then just rinse and repeat.
Absolutely. I think, you know, 18 years, I'm kind of tried and true out here at this point, and I'm still learning and growing every day. But recently, I've been thinking about just the concept of lack versus abundance. And I think mindset is so important when you're starting any entrepreneurial endeavor, but particularly in a time like this with the pandemic, you have to set an intention that there is abundance out here, whether you see it or not, whether you believe it or not. You have to be intentional and decide that you're going to be successful. And if you, again, perceive that there's abundance, it makes it easier for you to handle the no's, the rejections that come. If you perceive that there's lack, then that is really, I know I sound like I'm doing a lot of law of attraction stuff, but that is what you will find. You kind of, whatever you're seeking, I really believe in this space, you find it, but you've got to be intentional about what it is that you want and desire, and got to be willing to roll up your sleeves and do whatever it takes to get it.
And that it sounds counterintuitive for some people. I think that this belief that, there is abundance and there is a lot out there, and despite whatever's happening, there are companies making money and thriving during whatever the environment is.
Absolutely.
And life doesn't have to be, or business doesn't have to be transactionally minded. It doesn't have to be a zero-sum game where your win is my loss. We all can win.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe and know in my heart of hearts, not just because it's philosophical, but because I've experienced it, that is the case.
Yeah. And that's that leap, that faith walk that you were talking about earlier, that yep, by really serving and helping, that does come back around.
Yep, absolutely.
So now, how have you been working with your clients during this time where there is a lot of chaos and uncertainty, and part of your role is to advise them and to kind of be that bridge to help them communicate?
Right. So right on the heels of a big, beautiful speech about lack and abundance, I'll talk about the lack actually in our life right now. So we are not we are not unique. We're not a unicorn. I've found in working with small businesses and just being part of the Atlanta small business community, it's very, they're very polar opposites going on right now. There are companies that are just bubbling over with business right now where they have so much they can't even control the growth. And then there are those of us that are really struggling and have had clients pull back. As I mentioned, we have a lot of corporate clients. And so most of our corporate clients, the first thing you cut in a major corporation is the you know, contingent labor, you cut the non-essentials, et cetera. And marketing, unfortunately, is one of those areas that gets hit and cut off pretty quickly. So we, since the end of March, literally have been working aggressively to pivot our organization. All of our corporate clients, except for one, have frozen marketing funds. And the one that didn't freeze cut probably about 85% of our account. So we are on a slim little sliver of revenue that's actively coming in. Thank God for things like the PPP loan and all of the assistance that the government has given. We have been able to keep things pretty much intact, give or take a few changes here and there. But we, you know, just like everyone else, we have had to embrace an abundance mentality, or else, you know, things would have looked grim and we probably would have closed our doors at this point. And instead of doing that, by focusing on abundance, it really allowed us to kind of focus on what were the positives in our business. Forget the income, forget the money and the revenue, which can be really hard to do. But if you put that on the back burner and just go, what am I working with? What we realized was we had a lot. We had 18 years of experience that we could, you know, give back to the marketplace in a place where businesses are struggling and need expertise and know-how. We realized that we had a podcast called Joy Economics. Oh my gosh, we literally just got the trademark application approved a month before COVID popped off. And so we've really pivoted and started pouring a lot more into our podcast and our mission to heal the world by helping spread more joy in the corporate marketplace, which was already our mission. We just weren't really elevating that piece of our brand as much. And so in pivoting, we started really looking at what were the needs in the marketplace. And if we leaned into the reality of the disaster, what could it unearth for us? And what we discovered was about 41% of businesses would go out of business if they didn't do something. And that's, again, where that magic moment happened for us. And we realized we have an abundance of corporate expertise and we can show these small businesses how to pivot. So let's roll up our sleeves and put together a really, really impactful small business program to do our part to help save American and small businesses. And in doing that, we ultimately save ourselves.
So now what does that look like? What are some of these services that you're offering small business?
Yeah, so we're really excited about it. It's off to a great start. We're already working with several small businesses. The program is basically a small business program designed to equip small businesses with the know-how and to help them create an action plan for how they can pivot their business and their message, more importantly, so that it serves the need of COVID. And so the first principle that we preach is just kind of lean in and accept the reality of what's happening. The second key point is to sell solutions, not services. So a lot of us are kind of hoping this is going to go away and we can go back to the way things were. And so our belief is we're not going to go back. You don't ever really go back. You just emerge. So how do we emerge from this? How do you as a small business emerge with grace and in a way that you can not only survive, but thrive? So our program is really simple. It's a super low price point. It's $249 a month for 6 months, spread out over six manageable payments over a 6 month period. And what we do, we start each small business off with a deep dive into their business. A team of two marketing experts in our company sit down virtually with each company, and we do a 3-hour deep dive strategy session. In that session, we are taking you back to some real core business basics like your SWOT analysis, recalibrating you around what are you strong at, what are the weaknesses in your business, your opportunities, what are the threats, and really shining a light on that intersection of strengths and opportunities to discover where the pivots are. And coming out of that 3-hour session, people immediately, you can see them breathing more easily, getting excited. We kind of go through by the end of the session, we're able to share with you a rough brand script based on what we've heard. We do a communications audit, just lots of little strategy exercises. You come out of that with a rough brand script. And then over the next 2 to 3 weeks, we crank out for you a brand action plan. We deliver that back to you with 30 days of content for a social media channel of your choice, and we give you 8 branded social media posts. And then there are a lot of additions we can add on to that based on what the client needs, but those are the nuts and bolts of the plan. And it's just been really, really fun for us to give back in this way, and we're really excited, and it's fun to see our clients excited and that hope that returns that, hey, I can do this and I can get through this without having to be a marketing expert.
Now, do you think that this is a little bit of a silver lining in terms of as the pandemic wanes and things get back to some sort of a new normal, that this might be a service offering that'll kind of stick around?
I think for the foreseeable future, it is going to be a service offering that we're going to continue with. It's so funny how God works. I spent the first 10 years of this business working with small businesses and really trying to figure out how to monetize that space, how to work in that space in a way that was conducive and accessible, but comfortable and profitable for our business, and how did it all work? And I really built this business for small businesses. Our tagline is actually strategic marketing for growing businesses. I had a lot of corporate relationships, so we kind of segued into a lot of that work, but the intention all along was for me to bring this expertise back to small businesses. So in that way, we've come full circle. It is my hope that we will be able to continue. I do think the impact that this will have on small businesses we will not get out of as easily as we hope. I think the effects of this will be rippling for a while. And so it's neat because it really gets us back to our sweet spot, a passion that we have, and it's really neat to see my employees get excited again. I think when you work with corporates, it's great. It's kind of dependable, steady income, but you also easily get siloed into just using one area of your expertise. And my employees and my marketing coaches on my team are excited because they get to bring the full breadth of who they are as marketers to each engagement.
Tell me a little bit, you mentioned this earlier, like the word joy you used, and you got a trademark around that. And that seems to be a core value in terms of your work, but you have something called Joy Economics. Talk a little bit about that and the genesis of that and the importance of that in your business.
Right. So our business, we were fortunate enough to scale over the $1 million mark back in 2017. And why this was a big deal, I think it's a big deal for any business when they do that. But for us, as a company that is woman owned and that as a company that is minority owned, I am both minority and woman. That is just, it's really, really a huge accomplishment. Only about 1.8% of women owned businesses scale over $1 million. And the average woman of color generates in revenue about $50,000 a year. And so this was never a thing I was super striving to do, but it kind of happened and we were able to scale and grow. And Lee, what I found was here I arrived on the mountaintop that every small business wants to be on. And instead of being happy, I was thrust out of work that I loved, which was being in the trenches with clients, doing the marketing, doing the writing, being the producer. And I really had to walk in the shoes of the CEO. And that looked like a lot of meetings, a lot of problem solving, a lot of HR issues. And I hated it. I actually hated running the company, even though that's what I had to do. And so I ended up in the middle of the night, in the midst of the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses program, working on a new vision for the company. It was 3 a.m. I had just gotten in from a delayed flight from Boston, where we'd been delayed because of snow. I had just gotten home at 1 o'clock, couldn't sleep, mind turning for a week from a week full of strategy and intense business lessons. And at 3 a.m., I jumped up, popped up in bed, crying, and just like, I don't like this. I don't like all of this growth and I'm growing too fast and I just want to be happy. And, you know, everyone around me kept saying, you should be so happy. Look, you've done this. You should be so happy. And I just wanted to do work that I loved and work that gave me joy. And that was that middle of the night crying episode is when the idea came to me. And then like a good entrepreneur, I jumped up out of bed and sketched out a whole business model around it. We registered the URLs and began the trademarking process. The whole concept is basically, it's not an anti-money concept, but it is a belief that if we tune into who we are, if we lean into our God-given gifts and really pursue the things that give us immense joy, then the economic wealth, the economic reward that we're looking for will find us. And I think without going too far out on a limb, some of what I'm seeing with what's going on in the marketplace and the economy is, you know, maybe God's trying to show us what's really more important in life. I tell people it's very interesting. We have money that we carry around and that we're pursuing all the time. And the money says on it, in God we trust. But really, if you look at people's actions, we really trust our money a lot more than God. So I really challenge myself and others to really focus on those gifts that are innately you, those things that bring you joy, and trust that when you pursue those, when you pursue that passion, the money has a way of finding you and the success comes that way versus chasing the money, hoping it will bring you joy.
Yeah, that's, I think there was a Stephen Covey, story he was talking about, that if you're kind of climbing that ladder of success, make sure you have it on the right thing. Cause when you get to the top, you may not be happy where you're at.
It's not what you think. And, it took me a while. That was 2017. It took me about 2.5 years to just strip down to the core of who I was and what I like to do. So now in my business, I'm fortunate to have a great team. I only do the things that make me happy. And I've been fortunate enough to delegate out and find good team members and people to grow my team with who are good at the things I'm not good at and the things that I don't enjoy. And so they let me play in my sandbox and I let them play in theirs.
That's right. Now, if you had one piece of actionable advice for a small business person right now, that's looking to grow, that's looking to kind of survive and thrive in this environment, what would that be?
One piece of advice. It's interesting. I haven't shared this advice. I've been on a few shows and this piece hasn't come, but it's what's coming to me right now. I would say get yourself a good tribe. Find a good network, a good tribe, a good community of people who are like you. During this season that I just spoke about, I was also very alone. I was going through this, you know, very much kind of philosophical crisis of what I thought the business success would look like versus what it actually was. And I also was very isolated because I didn't have other entrepreneurs in my family. I didn't have friends who were entrepreneurs. My friends are teachers. And so I couldn't even express my unhappiness properly, because when I'd speak what I was going through, people would be like, well, again, you should be happy. Look what you've done. You should be happy. And so in that way, they invalidated my feelings. And so one of the most beautiful and helpful things that's been helping me is just being a part of a lot of communities. I'm a member of EO Atlanta Entrepreneurs Organization. I'm a member of WeBank, Women's Business Enterprise National Council, Leadership Atlanta, just all the communities that I've been a part of have really shown up in the midst of COVID. And oh my gosh, just given me so many resources and so many opportunities to connect and to be able to have community right now, I think is so, so important. There's a beautiful thing about community. It takes and lifts you outside of those things and those lies and beliefs and self-limiting things inside of your head. And it really kind of gives you a mirroring effect, and you can get validated, you can be seen, but you can also be encouraged and inspired and realize that while this is happening to you, it is also happening to us, and we're all going to get through this and we're going to be better on the other side.
Good stuff. Well, if somebody wanted to learn more, have a more substantive conversation with you or somebody on your team, what's the website?
Yeah. So we would love to work with anyone who is in need of a major pivot and some major ideas to, again, not just survive, but thrive. You can go to our website for our small business packages is mycommunicationsplan.com, and you can book your first session. We also want to offer your audience a free 30-minute session with someone on our team. No, you know, no strings attached, just 30 minutes of your time. And we would love to get to know you more. It is a free session. They can sign up for that on our website. And if they're interested in actually joining the program, the link to do that is there as well. And what I didn't mention is, in addition to all those things, we also pair you with a coach. So for 6 months, you'll have multiple touch points with a coach who will be able to hold your hand and guide you through the next 6 months so that, again, we can all meet each other on the other side of this in one piece and with smiles on our faces.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today. You're doing important work, and we appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure, and best wishes to you. And thank you for all the great, great work you're doing to inspire businesses like mine throughout the city of Atlanta.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, we couldn't be doing this work without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. Please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.